The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. You may recall, if you've been listening to the show for a while or watching the show for a while, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, back in August, I had just one of the most intelligent guests I've ever had on the show. I mean, just off the charts. Carl Truman, who's a great theologian, incredible writer. He wrote a book called The Rise and Fall of the Modern Self. But he's increasingly in the last few years been speaking into cultural issues and what's going on, particularly here in America. And if we go back 2 years, if you can believe that, almost 2 years, yeah, almost to the day. And when COVID started, so back in March of 2020, Carl Truman wrote an article, and he had a quote in the article from Philip Reeve, who once commented, in past times, people did not go to church to be made happy. It's kind of us, right? Did not go to church to be made happy. They went to have their misery explained to them. And when you think about that, you go, okay, that's a little dark. That's kind of a bummer. But isn't that the fact that sooner or later we're all going to experience misery? This world is a real mess, whether we look at it at a kind of a 30,000-foot view in the entire world. We talk about things in America. We talk about things in your state or my state. We talk about things at work and the culture and politics, or just in your family. Maybe in your marriage, with your kids, with work, with the job, with bills, with your health. And there's affliction seems to be waiting around the corner for all of us. That's like kind of that old saying, you're either going into a trial or coming out of a trial, or you're in between them, right? You just can't avoid it. And so the question becomes, how do we kind of redeem these times of affliction when we're suffering, when we're going through really difficult things? And I'm not saying that the most pious thing you can do is try to figure out a way to extend it for the glory of God, but what do you do while you're in it? And oftentimes we try to run away from it. So today on Theology Thursday, based on the blog that our good friend Billy Gotcher is back in the house. He was with us before, handling some theology of some difficult topics. And today, redeeming times of affliction for effective ministry. What do you do with that? I'm reading from the blog. The church is increasingly facing misery, most notably shaming, right, from our fallen culture. Whether it's the abortion issue or sexual ethics or even the masks or vaccine mandates, whatever, that's, we got all that kind of stuff coming at us. This time of extended affliction, he writes, has exposed one of the chief idols of our hearts, comfort and convenience. Can I get an honest amen? When comfort and convenience are shaken, we want to look for something to make us feel better, that's for sure. Then you've got James on the other side saying, hey, count it all joy, brothers and sisters. And you're like, yeah. I know. How do you do that? What do you do with your affliction? How do you kind of turn these difficult times into a ministry time? And right now, personally, this is on my radar screen. Many of you know I've shared it on Facebook Live, a little bit on the radio here and there. My mother's 90. My dad went home to be with the Lord a little over 3 years ago. And my mother's 90, and she's been battling for the last 5 or 6 months, serious health issues. And then in the last 4 weeks, really just became, you know, at home, you're not going to win this battle. And then you just want, she knows the Lord, you want the suffering to go away. You don't want this lingering. It's taking so long. What's the Lord up to? This is happening in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My mother went to be with the Lord this morning at about 6:30 a.m. And my two sisters are there. One sister lives in Chattanooga. The other sister just visiting different parts of the country for a couple of years. And so she's been there living with my mother. And so very, very difficult. If you've ever had to care for an elderly parent or family member, especially as they near the end of life, it's very, very difficult. That's a huge burden to bear. It's a great affliction. And so while we're sitting here praying, Lord, please take her into suffering. Get her out of here. Why does she need to linger like this? You have to realize and trust that the Lord's got a reason, and there's ministry and there's opportunity even in the midst of affliction. So this today, as we talk about it, very personal. This is very fresh for me. But I praise the Lord. 90 years is an incredible life to live, and my parents lived it fully. So while it's sad, it's not tragic. So I want to be sensitive to you that out there that have experienced tragic loss and only could wish and hope and pray that your parents had lived to 90 and 91 like mine did. So I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth. Anyway, Billy, that's a super long introduction. It's great to see you, man. How are you?
It's great to see you, Steve, and I really, my heart goes out to you because all loss of life is, in a sense, tragic, and gift of life is precious. So,
amen.
Certainly praying for God's comfort for your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and look forward to seeing you face-to-face. I'll be down at BJU Seminary coming up on Monday for the CORE Conference, which we'll talk about later. We've been talking about it for several weeks, and Billy's speaking at that. But this isn't exactly a happy-go-lucky kind of message, Billy. So, affliction, why is this on your radar screen? Why did you want to talk about it today?
Well, I honestly think through the part of it is part of the journey and teaching and learning for myself, even as a pastor, pastoring our church, just some of the personal afflictions and that kind of where Paul went in terms of that thorn in the flesh, just going through that experience in different ways, whether it was an external affliction or whether it was some of the personal ones that come through your own health crisis, that kind of thing. I think God used those greatly to help shape in me a compassion for the people that I pastored, an understanding of their affliction, and then how to better shepherd. And so I just think it's a super important topic for us to think about.
Yeah, and so that's kind of on a personal level, but you mentioned in the blog post, and I'll share that on Facebook Live today and on Facebook, so you guys, these are always excellent, and there's a blog post every week that goes along with Theology Thursday, so BJU Seminary just really doing a great job of thought leadership, so these are things that you should read yourself. Don't just listen to the show, listen to the podcast, watch the show, that's great, but study and dig in a little bit more. That's why these blog posts exist, and just such a great resource, but also kind of as a church, or even Billy, as a Christian in America, because now we've got cancel culture. We're not exactly the popular kids on the block, so not just personal affliction, but now affliction just from being a body part of the body of Christ, and that's a real issue as well. And we've definitely seen that in the last 2 years with COVID.
Absolutely, and it is where we're facing that. And I'm just trying to say, even as a church, so as an individual and as a church, I think there's lessons both directions. I mean, my individual lessons, God's teaching to shape Christ in me, also then is about how do we as a church respond to when the culture is increasingly hostile and it's not as comfortable, in a sense, being a Christian in the speaking in public space.
And so how would we, and we'll hit the break here in just about 30 seconds, how do we just generally define affliction?
Well, I mean, it's a broad category. I think we deal with afflictions. I mean, you've got the different kind. You can be the external, the pressure from an external to whether it silence you or push you aside. And then some afflictions rise internally from the fact we face our own weaknesses, whether that's a physical ailment or the inability to do something in front of us that we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
We face a multiple layers of affliction, and it just presses each of us back to those things that we hold most dear.
Yeah, so what do you do when that time comes? Because it comes for all of us. And for many of you right now, you're in it right now. So this will be the Lord speaking to you directly from his word. So pay attention. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary, talking to Billy Gocher today as we are working through a subject that's difficult when we suffer trials or affliction, hard times. Generally, you know, we're kind of looking for a way out, right? We pray that it'll end soon. Sometimes we ask, why are you doing this, Lord, as opposed to asking, what are you trying to do here right now? And we can really struggle with affliction. We struggle with it on a personal level. We can struggle with it as a couple or as a family. And that could be internal things you're dealing with mentally, emotionally. It could be physical things, job things. But then as a church in America, you may have noticed this, we can't really, if you're going to be outspoken or carry your faith on your sleeve, it's kind of hard to fly under the radar. So we can, we're starting to, and we will experience more affliction just as church people, as Christians in America. So the question becomes, what do we do with it? How do we redeem these times of affliction? Because you're not going to avoid them. They're going to happen to all of us. And for many of us, myself included, maybe you're going through it right now and you just feel affliction. It's a very difficult time. But that's always great territory, is always very fertile soil for what the Lord is going to do, not only in your life or in my life, but can do outside of our lives. Oftentimes I'll remind people, I've known people, Billy, and again, thanks for being here today. I have a friend from church years ago who sadly died when he was 39. He had, I think it was stomach cancer. And that was a battle for about a year and a half, terrible affliction. But during that, in this word itself, towards the end, when I had a chance to talk to him, I said, Mike, you know what? You've just been an incredible steward of your affliction. And that, because that's how he lived it out. He's like, okay, this is the deal. This is what's happening to me. He has this terribly painful cancer. He knows he's not going to beat it. And so he decides that, I'm going to use this as a ministry platform and as an opportunity to proclaim the word and to reach out to people with the gospel. And he just became this incredible steward of his affliction. And you saw all kinds of fruit come off of that. But unfortunately, I don't think that's the norm. I think that's kind of outside our norm. Or am I just being a cynic?
Well, I don't think you're being a cynic. I think we tend to just part of our own. We tend to personalize it. We see it, and I think even Paul. I mean, Paul's example there is that he saw that thorn in the flesh, and yeah. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know it hindered what Paul thought as his ability to advance ministry. It was a hindrance. It was something needed to go, and he's crying out for that to be removed. And so I think we can, in one sense, take comfort there that we're not that different than Paul, but we also need to learn what did Paul learn through that.
Yeah, because that was, do we get too wrapped up, Billy, in trying to figure out what the actual thorn was in Paul's flesh, or thinking about, you know, that was a tormenting thing from the devil? If we spend too much time focusing on that, are we kind of missing the forest for the trees when we talk about affliction?
Yeah, I mean, I think Paul was intentionally vague. I mean, when he talked about the thorn in the flesh, he wasn't wanting to say, hey, this was exactly what I was dealing with. So that is how Satan's going to go after you. He is dealing with the fact that affliction that actually he saw as a hindrance in his life and his progress needed to be removed in order him to be effective. And God had to teach him. I mean, he learned through this that really it's not our strength, our energy that is the key to ministry. It really is God's power. And that doesn't demand that we lack affliction. It actually demands we have the humility to seek God's power rather than our own.
Yeah, because the scripture doesn't really give us any indication that Paul escaped that affliction, right?
Right. Yeah. No, he didn't. It wasn't removed. He's asking, and I don't think it means literally like he just asked three times. I think it's saying I asked three, as in I was desperate for this to be removed.
Yeah.
As in I continued to plead with the Lord, and the Lord answered, "No, Paul. This is no. My grace is sufficient for you."
Mm. So we could infer that it's not wrong to ask God to relieve us of our affliction. Is it? Is that like a weak faith thing, Billy? Am I a bad Christian if I'm like, okay, Lord, enough is enough?
Well, I think we, no, I'm not, I wouldn't say it's wrong. I think we need to, I think sometimes we get so tied up into it. It's either like, I'm going to say, Lord, get rid of this. If you love me, get rid of this. Or I want to know the exact lesson you have for me and teach me now because I want out.
Yeah, we want the drive-through version.
Right, yeah. So, and rather than understanding that, you know, we do live in a fallen world. This world's not our home. It's not supposed to be comfortable. And the afflictions of life help us come to the end of ourself.
Yeah.
And at the end of self, I actually find my dependence on God and find the place where I then really begin to rejoice in God's grace in my life rather than, you know, I want a little injection of power, a little, you know, so that I can go do something.
Right. Yeah. And that's the point. And we're also working through Billy's blog post today, which was up on the website. So you can get that for yourself. I'll put the links up. Redeeming times of affliction for effective ministry, that Paul had success in ministry. That was dependent not on his own strength, which we all tend to think we have a lot to do with it, but on God's grace and his weakness. But like when you flip over to James, so rejoice in weakness, you wrote in the blog. But that's, I get it. I know what we need to do, but why should we? Like I'm like a petulant 4-year-old kid. I'm always asking why. Why should we rejoice in weakness or affliction?
Well, I think we rejoice because it does help us come again to that place of that humility and dependence. And then it also takes some of the pressure that we sometimes put on ourselves in ministry, like it's up to me, you know. And so it's not just that. You know, I'm not going out looking for afflictions, but I'm reminded that I am fallen, I am insufficient, but God's grace is never insufficient. And that in that place of weakness and humility where I go really to that throne of grace and ask for help, I receive it, and then God gets magnified, and we really do rejoice in seeing God working in and through our lives, even in the midst of our affliction, our weakness.
And I think that's a great point. That's usually why I end up with it personally in my own life and situations going, okay, I'm going to rejoice in this weakness because I know that God's doing something in me. I know this isn't for nothing. It's not a waste of time. It's not just some kind of goofy happenstance that I know because of God's character. Then right. I can trust his providence, and his providence tends to show up pretty good and be pretty effective in a difficult soil as opposed to things going well all the time. I don't think we'd ever learn anything.
Yeah, well, and that gets back to, just like you said, that theology of God and that theology of self, understanding man and our sin, and then that helps us then begin to respond rather than out of necessarily the emotions to the afflictions I'm feeling, but out of the truth of who God is and what God's doing in the middle of those afflictions.
Yeah, because just like I mentioned with my sisters, and particularly one sister who is living in my mother's house, so it's 24/7. And then my other sister lives nearby, so she got plenty of it too. And you just are like, okay, what's the point of all of this? But when you have your theology of God's character right and you understand his providence, you know there's a point. I don't have to ask that question. I know he's doing something. The only question is, what is he doing and how can I participate in that? Which is why Paul, with his thorn in the side, is such a great lesson for us. I really appreciate you bringing that in with the blog post. But second part, you mentioned this earlier, talking about kind of the cancel culture. Ministry advances amongst opposition. Now, we go to war, right? Yeah, we've gone to war over the last 2 years over a mask, over shutting a store down, over vaccine mandates. And so oftentimes I think, again, missing the forest for the trees, this opposition comes, and instead of looking at it as an opportunity to advance ministry, we look at it as an opportunity to advance our personal freedom. And sure. That's important. Listen, we live in America. Yep. We have all kinds of freedoms. Paul took advantage of his freedom as a Roman citizen. It's okay for us to do that. But if that's all we think about, we're going to miss all kinds of ministry opportunities. We're going to talk about that next. There's so much that the scripture has to say about that. Billy Gocher's here with us, BJU Seminary on Theology Thursday. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary, walking through, as we do every week, all the professors and our friends at BJU, just such a great resource, because every week we have these great conversations in the deep end of the pool, theologically, but also very practical, great thought leadership, but there's always a blog that goes along with it. Every week, the same thing's true today with Billy Gocher, Viewpoint Blog, Redeeming Times of Affliction for Effective Ministry. These are always there, so you can go back several months at this point and see all these blogs, see the topic we talked about, read them, and then listen to the show, because this is kind of like, this is my job, if I'm going to call it a job, is I'm kind of a go-between. I'm a little bit of a mediator. I'm not your typical person sitting in your pew. I'm not the typical person sitting up in the pulpit, so I'm somewhere in between. So I act as a mediator, and I try to think on behalf of the audience because I can kind of run back and forth. I have a perspective from the pew, but I also have a perspective from the pulpit and try to mediate in between. And so that's why listening to the show is adds a whole nother level and a whole nother layer than just reading the blog. So it's a great 1-2 punch. The website you can go to anytime is seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, and you get into the college world and stuff, you're always going to hear that EDU in there. Okay, so just remember that. seminary.bju.edu/radio. I'll put this up on Facebook right now, and that'll take you to Billy's blog that we're working through today, as well as all the other blogs we've done over the last several months. So it's a great, great resource, not just for you, by the way. Share it with your pastor, share it with other believers, share it on social media, share the podcast. It really is just a great resource to go deeper and to have more understanding and to gain wisdom in the things of the Lord. So again, Billy, we thank you for your time today. It's always great.
Yeah. It's good to be here.
So I'm reading from the blog, today's blog post. As strange as it seems to us, ministry advance often happens best when we face opposition. This is why Paul had to learn this and used it to God's glory when he had the thorn in his side. Living in an increasingly hostile culture, we may try to hunker down and weather the storm, but the cancel culture wants to shame us into silence, capitalizing on comforts and pleasures our flesh naturally craves. When I read this, Billy, immediately I thought, I hate masks. Right from the get-go, my freedom-loving Americana side hated it. I didn't want to submit to authority, whether I agreed with it or not. And then it was just bugs the tar out of me. It's uncomfortable. It's obnoxious. I'm like, ugh, this thing's driving me nuts. And so my flesh is craving comfort, and I didn't even think about whether I'm not going into the angle of are you a better Christian for wearing one or not wearing one. But I didn't really think in terms of ministry. or trying to deal with a lost and dying culture, I mostly dealt with my comfort. And isn't that right. Is that kind of a normal problem, or am I just really a subpar Christian?
No, I knew I liked you, Steve. And I knew what you thought about was a lot of things I thought about too when all that rolled out. And then I had to think about it also from a pastoral perspective, yeah. Which then draws me back into thinking from a ministry perspective. Yep.
No, yeah.
I think it's pretty normal that we think first self-oriented.
Yeah, and so that's why, and you mentioned this when we finished the last segment, that's why we have to kind of turn our eyes towards the Lord. And if you know his character, that makes it a lot easier to trust his sovereignty. And none of this stuff is a waste. It's not like he's capricious or bored or doesn't care what's happening to you. He's going to use it for the kingdom as well as for our good. And you mentioned this on the break, Billy. Sometimes we'll see some of that stuff now. Some of it we won't get to see until heaven, but you'll get to see it. And it'll all make sense. And especially when we're in heaven, we'll be able to glorify the Lord all the more. I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned something about a privilege you had once to work with Chinese pastors and kind of how that kind of folds into this whole conversation about affliction.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've taught in China a number of times, but one of those occasions was teaching, and they asked me to teach specifically on the doctrine of God, and we walked through that, and then we were walking through also. They just lost a Chinese leader, and then even when I was there, I'd been through just a personal time of great affliction ministry-wise. Mm-hmm. And just how God kind of brought that together and really helped me, but also I think helped me help them think through this, the truth of who God is in light of, and then as the circumstance of life actually confront what I know about God. And thus my response to my circumstance begins to flesh out my theology, whether I really believe it or whether I don't. And then how that theology begins to shape my understanding of my circumstances rather than my circumstances shaping my theology of God.
Yeah, and if you look at who's facing difficulty in ministry, it would seem almost preposterous to try to compare what we can deal with as Christians in America to what these people were dealing with as Christians and pastors in China. Did that kind of factor into that whole experience for you?
I mean, I met with a number of the men that I've met with have been in prison for their faith several multiple times. In fact, one time went with a Chinese pastor he took us to a location. It's kind of a touristy location, but I'm walking in with a translator and the guy disappears. He's gone for an hour. We don't know where he is. And he later comes up and says, well, I had to disappear. There was a cop that came in, a police officer that was there who had arrested me before. And as soon as he saw me with you, he would have arrested us both. And so we didn't know what was going on. We're just kind of wandering around, wondering where the guy that took us there went. So, but
you know, how's that? Because, you know, we talk about the underground church in China, but there is a visible church there as well. So did they have some of the same kind of problems that they would start to kind of crave comfort? Because obviously that's a big issue for us.
Well, yeah, the Three Self Church, kind of the visible legal church, has certain parameters put around it by the Communist Party. Those have become increasingly, I mean, things like even you know, portraits got to be there now. I mean, there's a lot of new things that have come recently, even to the Three Self Church. Their minimum freedoms have been pretty much eclipsed now as well. But the gospel has flourished in the home church movement, and really the underground church is where it's flourished throughout China.
Yeah, and talk about affliction. We're actually tomorrow. I've got some people coming to the studio that were involved. This is back in 1999, where they went after literally about 100 million people, the Falun Gong movement in China. And they just started capturing people, throwing them in jail, torturing them. Some of them were students. And this wasn't like this was some oppressive thing. It was kind of like Tai Chi and meditation and thinking good thoughts and tolerance and kindness and goodness, like that's going to harm society. Actually, the situation over there, it blew up in like 9 years. There were 100 million followers. And crime rates and stuff were going down. It was good for the culture, but the government didn't like it. It's subversive to them in a communist country. And so they went after them. And I think that's a lesson we need to take from China when it comes to affliction, is you sit there and go, okay, but the gospel advances tremendously in China under affliction, right? So isn't that, we should look at that almost like as a convection oven. That's going to make things happen even faster.
Yeah, when Mao came to power, there were like, they said there was around 10 million Christians in China. 50 years later, there's over 100 million Christians in China.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, that persecution that Mao sought to bring did not crunched the gospel.
Yeah.
Actually, it made it shine all the brighter.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that perspective when we face all the difficulties we are now in doing ministry. We're not able to do the same things we always did. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. You know, I think maybe, you know, we kind of in some sense wanted to wait until normal came again.
Yeah.
Well, what is normal? And when we face the difficulties of ministry in a broken culture, we really have an opportunity for the light to shine even brighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's been kind of a consistent theme on Theology Thursday since we started our relationship with BJU Seminary. Keep coming back to, we can kind of lament and moan and groan to a certain extent, whine about the shape of the culture and what's happening in the country politically, culturally, this, that, and the other thing, as opposed to going, okay, you know what? Things are dark, but the candle shines all the more brightly in the dark. And so you just go, okay, this is an awesome ministry opportunity. Frustrating? Yes. Maddening? Yes. Disappointing? Yes. But from a ministry perspective, you should be like, wow, this is awesome, but I think we struggle to get there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Paul's statement there in that 2 Corinthians, it's one that's very convicting to me. I mean, he comes at the end of it and says, I delight in my distress and my afflictions. And I mean, I can't honestly say I'm there when I first faced an affliction.
Yeah.
My first response tends to be, why now? Why me? Yeah. Why this?
Yes.
And then theology hopefully kicks in sooner than later. And I begin going, nope, God is good and doing good. And I know that.
Yeah. And then acting on what you know. So that even happens to somebody that's a pastor and a seminary teacher, is that we have that tension trying to live it out.
Absolutely. I mean, we're still sinners saved by grace, and my flesh is like your flesh, and it's going to think fleshly and about self first.
And, yeah.
And that's why our daily walk with the Lord is so important. It's amazing. God invites us to a throne of grace and promises to meet us there with the help I need. And I need it. And afflictions remind me of that. Remind me I'm not sufficient. I don't have all the answers. I don't need to, but I serve the God who does.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important point. You've said that earlier. Then don't gloss over that, everybody, when Billy just said, I don't need to. We want to understand so that we can make some sense out of it. But unpack that just a little. We're going to hit the commercial break, and then we'll finish up the thought. But that statement, I don't need to understand what God's all up to, just unpack that a little bit, Billy, because I think that's a super important point.
Well, I mean, I think partly we understand God's ways are higher than ours. Mm. And God is working according to his character, his purposes, and he's working all these matters that, again, are far more complex than we even begin to fully comprehend. And he is working throughout all of it to accomplish his good. So while I want to understand, my understanding is still finite. He's infinite.
Yeah.
That gap will never be bridged.
Yeah. Hold that thought. I'm just going to say, yeah. It reminds me. You're a dad, I'm a dad, you're a grandfather, now I'm a grandfather. It reminds me that sometimes you know, tell your kids and they want to understand, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Because it's for your good. You're just going to have to trust me. We do it with our kids. We need to do it with the Lord. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. By the way, for all of you pastors out there, or for all of us that attend a church and you have a pastor, which is the vast majority of us, we're going to talk about this in just a minute. But the core conference coming up down at BJU Seminary is just coming up this coming Monday. Okay, Monday, January 31st, the full day, and then about half a day on Tuesday, February 1st, especially for pastors in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee, the core conference. We're going to talk about this, but this is one of those things that, listen, your pastor's busy. Billy Gocher's here with us today from BJU Seminary. He's been a pastor. He understands that. And oftentimes, we don't minister to them very well. We assume they're fine, everything's going good, but you just don't know. And so when you throw an opportunity at them, and perhaps if you have the ability, you just pay for them. It's not a lot of money to go to the core conference, but just pay for them. See, are they available? Can I send you down there? And they'll be blessed by this as they need continual equipping and to deal on with their own relationship with the Lord. Pastors need sanctification like the rest of us. So let's remember that. We'll talk about this in a second, but we're talking to Billy today about the blog post, Redeeming Times of Affliction for Effective Ministry, Personal Ministry, Corporate Ministry, Our Witness in the Church. You never know who's watching you. So when we go through afflictions, or trials of any kind, you're going to have all kinds of people around you. Maybe it's in your small group. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's just people on Facebook or social media, and they're watching you. So that is a ministry opportunity. So how we handle affliction really has a big impact on our witness. witness to a lost and dying world. So, Billy, again, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for taking the time to prepare the blog as well.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you this question, then we'll talk about what's going to happen next Monday and Tuesday at the CORE conference. But as when we're struggling, and I think at some level we're all going to struggle with our afflictions, they are difficult. Those are times of trial and tribulation and affliction, and I think it's pretty normal in our fallen state to struggle with that. But if we really struggle with it, we get angry, we're super confused, we just are crying out, it's got to be over, we're not really seeing any point in it. Is that essentially kind of an issue, Billy, with how much we know God? So we don't understand his character, maybe we don't know him all that well, so it's harder to trust. Going back to something I said on the break with, like, when your kid's on the diving board and you're trying to get them to jump into you, you know you're going to save them. Even if you have to die, you're going to save them there in the family pool or whatever. But you're like, it's frustrating because you're like, listen, I'm your dad. You know I'm not going to let you drown. I'm probably not even going to let your head go underwater. So you can trust me. So when we struggle with affliction, is that part of the problem for us? We just don't know our dad very well?
Well, I think your illustration helps in many ways, because at that moment, it's not that your child doesn't know you. It's not they don't believe you're their dad and you love them and you're going to save them. It's right now all they're seeing is their fear.
Hmm.
And so we can be a lot like that in the midst of affliction. All we're seeing is our affliction.
Yeah.
Our eyes are not lifted much higher. And because in the midst of that, we're overwhelmed emotionally. And then that's where we really, you know, that's where we obviously want and pray. We need the Spirit to kind of kick in and begin to feed on the Word of God again. And that's where we're going to need to go to begin to quell those emotions back with truth. I mean, I've often told as I pastored through the years, I've often reminded our folks, listen, nobody talks to you more than you do.
Man.
And when we allow the emotions of an event to be what we're saying to ourselves, we become overwhelmed by that because it's all we can see.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that affliction, we got to learn to preach truth to ourselves. What do we know to be true about God? And as we begin to preach that truth to ourselves, that's where the Spirit takes that truth and then the emotions begin to be quieted. And I mean, it is ultimately rest is a gift from God. That quieting of our own spirit is something the Spirit uses the Word to do. And so, you know, I wouldn't say because somebody is overwhelmed by their trial, they're necessarily disbelieving God.
Yeah, oh, that's a great point.
Their focus has shifted. They're just looking at just the fear and the trial rather than their focus back on who their God is.
Yeah, that's such a great grace point, too. And then I just wrote that down. If you notice that, nobody talks to you more than you do. And then I thought, I create my own echo chamber.
Yep.
And then that's why you got to come crawling back to the foot of the cross and to the gospel and to God's word, because while emotions can be productive, God's emotional, they shouldn't be the thermostat. They shouldn't take control of everything. And sometimes you have to overwhelm. The only thing that's going to cut through my own echo chamber is, like you said, nobody talks to me more than I do. And that's definitely true. That you have to go, okay, I gotta get myself out of this trap. I got to get out of this echo chamber. I got to get back to the source of all truth, which is God. I think that's a great point, that because I'm such a negative person, that's something going, well, is it my problem? I just don't trust the Lord. No, I think you just get controlled by your fear. You got to change your perspective or change your focus.
Yeah. And that's what God's word does. That's what the Spirit does through the word. It helps shift our focus away from the temporal circumstances that are ever changing and frustrating. Mm. To back to the God who is in control, working this together for our good.
Yeah.
And now I can minister out of a context of hope rather than fear and anxiety.
Yeah, such a great point. And again, everybody, I'm going to share this again on Facebook Live. So you can go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook and grab the link, or you can just go directly to the radio page at BJU Seminary. It's just seminary.bju.edu/radio. I wanted to ask you, I'm going to circle back around. I mentioned something about pastors and the CORE conference coming up Monday and Tuesday down at BJU Seminary in Greenville, South Carolina. For you as a pastor, why just speak to other pastors or to us as lay people or parishioners. Tell us about pastors' need to kind of be exposed to things like this, to come be ministered to and to learn. From a pastor's perspective, Billy, how important is it that pastors go to things like the CORE conference or other things like that?
Well, I mean, when you think about the pastoral shortage and the discouragement among pastoral ministry, and one of the things I think we may not have done well pastorally is just those ministry partnerships with other pastors, those friendships that really go deeper than just a surface level, hi, yeah, I know you pastor on the other side of town, but where we actually have friends in ministry that when we face those times, we have other people that will actually help speak truth, that know what we're going through. They literally walk in those shoes. So conferences like this help us to connect with others in ministry. It helps us to be in a place where we're not the ones giving out, but actually receiving.
Yeah, man.
And then one of the great blessings that we're seeking to accomplish through CORE is just spending a little bit more time in a conference than typical, where we are praying together.
Yeah.
And asking God to do unique things in our own life and ministry and in our culture.
Yeah, it's such a powerful perspective. And I can just share, I got into kind of quote-unquote Christian activism going all the way back to 2004 and started to do a lot of events. And we need the church's help because we got to get to church members so that we can build an email list, yada, yada, yada. And so I was running around a lot, Billy, and I was meeting with a lot of pastors and dealing with a lot of churches. I was always surprised how few of them knew each other. Now I'm getting to know all these pastors. At one point, I probably knew 90 or 100 pastors here in the area by name. And I would say, oh, well, I was talking to so-and-so over there. Do you know him? No. And then after a while, I'm like, do you really know many pastors around town? And most of them don't, because you guys are buried most of the time. You're buried, you're busy, you're dealing with your own people, and you don't really hang out with people that know what it's like to walk a mile in your shoes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I think a lot of us tend to forget that. We're not really very in tune with your life as a pastor.
Yeah, and I think we're just help. We're help to get together as men seeking to serve our God and to know one another. And even in that context, we can truly help carry one another's burdens and be equipped. And we've got a phenomenal lineup of guys speaking in the plenary sessions that are pastors. They are leaders in ministry context. They're going to be a blessing to us to be there, to be together under the word, and then spending shoulder to shoulder time in prayer is always sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be awesome. And so, what are you going to be sharing? What are you going to be talking about there, Billy?
Well, that's what we're dealing with right here. And this redeeming affliction, that dealing with it on a personal level and using just some illustrations from my own life and God's walking me through, if you will, my own kind of thorn in the flesh, kind of walking through and learning from the Lord. And then dealing with it in a ministry context, how do we flesh out on our life and ministry?
Yeah, and just if you do me a favor, I'll put you on the spot a little bit. By the way, everybody, I mean, this would be a good one to share with your pastors, or even just the question I'm about to ask Billy. But speak directly to pastors. Don't talk to me, Billy. Talk to pastors and just encourage them why they should come and why this is a good thing for them individually and personally as a pastor, as a person, as a follower of Christ. Just speak to pastors for a minute about the CORE conference. I think that would be good.
All right. Well, what I want to say to pastors is, hey, we know what you're walking through in the middle of the difficulties of ministry. We know both the joys, the highs, and the lows. And we know the difficulty we're facing in addressing these issues in culture. And our burden is to help you answer some of those questions for your congregation and to come alongside to encourage you, pray with you, encourage you. We want you encouraged by the goodness of our God and His really what He's doing in the midst to open up and want to start seeing that rather than the obstacles of what we're facing, the opportunities God is giving.
Yeah, such a wonderful word. So again, I'm going to put the links up here, but you can go to seminary.bju.edu/CORE in this case. It'll take you right to the CORE conference webpage. You can still register. You can still be a part of it. Still share this with your pastor, especially if you're maybe down in the Charlotte market or if you're in Greenville, if you're in the areas south here in North Carolina. We're on a lot of different stations. It's a little easier for them to get there. And even if they can't go on Tuesday, they can go on Monday. You do not know. You don't know what you don't know. So that's where most of us just share it. Just send a note to your pastor, tag him on Facebook, send him the podcast, whatever. Send him a link when you see him this weekend. Even mention it on Sunday when you see your pastor. And just you, even if they can't go, you reaching out to them. Billy, you've been a pastor for years. If somebody in your congregation comes up to you and says, hey, there's this thing I heard about. I think it would be a blessing to you. Maybe you can go, maybe you can't. How does that make you feel as a pastor?
Well, it helps you know that that people, they care, they understand you're carrying burdens as well. You're not just there to carry theirs, which you are. You're there to help carry theirs and shepherd them through it. But it's an investment, and it speaks volumes to say, hey, Pastor, we love you. We care about you. We want you to go, and you get some refreshment for your own soul.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Go to seminary.bju.edu/CORE. I'll put it up on the Facebook live feed right quick and on my regular Facebook page when we're done. Seminary.bju.edu. Stevenoble.edu/core. It's this coming Monday and half a day on Tuesday. You can get all the information at the website. Billy, thanks so much for your time today, for leading us in this conversation. It's something that we all deal with, so it's something we all need help with. But thank you so much, my brother.
You're welcome, Steve. Look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. I'll be there in just a couple days. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.